Turn your Bibles with us to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, in the last several messages, we've taken a look at the Old and New Testaments. The Old and New Testaments. And we look specifically at them, the purpose for them. Again, I made a disclaimer or made a preface in all those messages about covenant theology, covenant being a word that's a synonym of testament. We could take a look at that as an agreement or a contract, as a maybe a way of looking at it. And the synonyms, words that are along that same line. So we'll use those interchangeably. The Old and New Testament, we saw that was the Lord delving into the Lord's wisdom in dealing with mankind and the way that He's made us. And as we've read in Romans, where it says there that every mouth may be stopped and all become guilty before God. That's the reason that the Lord has dealt so precisely and so particularly in this way. But this morning we're going to take a turn from the Old and the New Testaments, and we'll take a look at some other things in the Scripture that are laying in here along with these that will help us and give us understanding of the whole picture and the working of God on our behalf. In Romans 4:16, these words are the springboard for our thoughts here in this message and some messages to come. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. It is of faith, and the subject here is Brother Abraham, the Lord dealing with him, and the way the Lord dealt with him and the covenant that he made with him. It is of faith that it might be by the gracious doing of the Lord. And so, not an Old Testament that has as a provision of it a law, but what God would do. And sinners believing the Lord in that. We've seen in previous messages, our Lord in His wisdom has dealt with mankind according to how He has created us and our subsequent fall in Adam. He made an Old Testament with a small sample of mankind, that is Israel. He's dealing with Israel, it is true. He's dealing with Israel in particular, and that's not going to get away from the Lord, but in dealing with Israel, He has dealt with mankind, because all these references to Israel get brought back before us in the New Testament to prove and show what our Lord has brought in bringing salvation to mankind through His Son. In that, in dealing with Israel, it was proven that we cannot keep such a covenant as God made with them. He made it with them. They said they would keep it. Two generations deep, but they did not. It is our carnality, our humanness, our earthiness, and our depravity that prevents such. But even in the end of the nation of Israel's existence, as we've seen in other messages, our Lord spoke of a better way. Remember that? In Jeremiah, in chapter 31, verse number 31, the Lord said there, in His punishment and chastisement of the nation as He had promised them, taking them and threatening them with captivity here in the day of Jeremiah there with Judah. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. I'll make it. He says, I will put my law in their inward parts. He says, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. That's what the Lord said He would do. Brother Ezekiel and Judah's captivity there in Babylonia, that's the setting for his book. In chapter 11, verse number 19, the Lord says, and I will give them one heart and I will put a new spirit within you. A covenant. A working of what God would do, not contingent upon the recipient and what they would do in regards to works. In chapter 36 of Ezekiel, verse number 27, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. As we have seen in previous messages, the Scripture reveals a way, a covenant, a testament based on Him, God, and His ability to bring it to pass. The New Testament. However, the Old Testament is not the first covenant or the first testament our Lord made with mankind. It's not. It's a big one, and it has great significance as it's referred to so many times in the Scriptures we've seen. That's not the first one. There are others. And in this message and other messages to come, I'd like us to delve into them. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Here we see the first of these. And what I like to refer to these in a way of our thinking, to just kind of organize things in our hearts and our minds, the testaments of God's graciousness and mercy. The testaments of God's graciousness and mercy. Look here in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's what God's seeing. God knows what he created. He knows that man has fallen, and Adam's sin, Satan's trickery of the beguilement of the woman, and Adam's full well, bold-faced defiance of God's word, listening to his wife rather than listening and hearkening and doing what the Lord had commanded him. It sent us off into a terrible, terrible state. The evidences of that and the impact of that are still being experienced today. It's still going on for 6,000 years. And so the Lord says this to brother Noah. It says here in verse number 13, or let's read from verse number 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. He was a follower of God, a man that listened to God, and not just listened to God to know it in his heart, but he listened and obeyed God. Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Listen. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. The earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion without that which thou shalt make it of. And so on. He tells Noah how to build it. And in verse number 18, but with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee, and they shall be male and female. So the Lord knows the wickedness of man. He's purposed what he's going to do. We don't see any petition by Noah at all in this situation that's at hand. And Lord comes to Noah and says, here's what I'm going to do. And son, here's what you're to do. Noah is established as a man that believes God. He's one of the few, it seems, that remains that believes God. And God said he was what he was going to do, and God told him what to do, and you know what Noah did? He obeyed. He believed God. He just simply believed God. He says, but with thee will I establish my covenant. And look at what he says. He said, I'm telling you to make an ark. And the thing is Noah was not received because he built an ark. Noah was already received because he believed the Lord, and because he believed the Lord, he built an ark. And everything that the Lord told him came to pass, was brought to pass by our Lord. In Genesis 7 and 8, our Lord has destroyed the earth and all of its inhabitants because of their wickedness. He has, by his will and ability, saved 8 souls. He has brought them to safety through the flood. What an account that it is. It's not a story. I understand how we use that word, but it's an account. It's history. And it's true. And in this we find Noah is a man that simply believed what God Almighty said. And he's blessed in that indeed. Now after the flood is done, we come to chapter 9 of Genesis. And we see this. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth. It had not been that way before, but now it's going to be that way. And upon every fowl of the air and upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is in the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, and at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. This is big on God's list just right from the beginning. The Lord believes in capital punishment. Because he knows how men are. And evidently there had not been capital punishment before. And the Lord, contrary to what the liberals and the antagonists would say, capital punishment is a deterrent for the taking of life and the abusing of life in this world. And you, be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah, verse 8, and to his sons with him, saying, and I, notice how he says this, and I, God speaking, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. So here we see a covenant established by God, and it's not predicated on anything that Noah has to do. Now, the Old Testament, with its law, that's a provision of it, what did God say? Keep my law, obey me, serve me, worship me, love me, and I'll bless you. But here God's saying, I'm establishing a covenant, Noah. I'm establishing a covenant with you and your seed after you. And with every living creature that is with you, verse 10, of the fowl and of the cattle and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. The Lord's talking about what he's going to do. Nothing about what man or Noah is required to do. He gave Noah some order up here about society and the seriousness of man taking the life of another. We read earlier in the previous chapter over there in chapter 6 about violence filled the earth, didn't it? It was so wicked that the killing of one another, I take from that, and other things, too terrible to mention in this setting, were taking place amongst mankind, and just man is just destroying himself by his sin. But I, the Lord said, is going to establish this. And listen to what it is. Verse 11. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. God said, I've done this once. I'm not going to do it again. Has the violence and wickedness of men exceeded that before the flood? You know, I don't know. But I tell you what, I know, you and I both know, it is bad. Can we say that man has not got to the point that he deserves such a judgment? I don't think we can say that. Things are wicked and terrible on this whole earth. And we in our country, we have our sins and our wickedness indeed. And the wickedness that prevails in our country is terrible. But there's wickedness also that prevails upon the earth that you and I can't even imagine. and probably encroaching here upon our nation too, as we've gone away from God as a nation. God says, I'm not going to destroy the earth anymore by a flood. In verse 12, and God said, this is the token of the covenant. He said, I'm going to give you something that'll remind about this covenant that I am making, which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations going on to the end. God says, I'm going to do it. Is this not gracious? Is this not merciful? Is this not a covenant, a testament, a agreement, a binding by our Lord and what He promises to do? Mm-hmm. He said it's going to go on. It's going to go on perpetually. Here's the token. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth and everybody that inhabits it. Every creature, mankind, man, woman, boy, and girl, and every animal that inhabits it. So the Lord has covenanted. He's made a testament. He's made a promise that He is not going to flood the earth anymore. And the thing is man is still depraved. Man is still wicked and sinful. And God knows that, but He's promised He's not going to do it worldwide by water anymore. And you know what? In some 4,500 years, it hadn't happened. Because God said it wouldn't happen. And in setting this as He has, He's made a token of the rainbow. And every time that it rains, or we have that right setting where that bow shows in the cloud, I think here, since we've moved to Kentucky, we've been able to see rainbows that went from end to end. Is that God's blessing upon Kentucky? I don't know, but we're able to see that rainbow end to end. We've seen that a few different times. And I tell you what, that's a sight, isn't it? It's a spectacular sight to see a rainbow in the cloud the way it is. And sure, you and I can explain it, and we understand it scientifically, but it is there by the covenant of God given upon all the earth. And it's gracious. Because we're still just as sinful and just as wicked, and there is much wickedness that prevails in our day. But God said it, and He's done it. You know, the rainbow is not the representation of the sodomite or the lesbian. It's not theirs. The rainbow is God's. And light and the spectrum of light is of God. God is light. And the Scripture says there's no variableness or shadow of turning in Him. This has been done in our day, and the way of the Lord has been blasphemed in that. Where those that pursue that wickedness take the rainbow to represent their inordinate and wicked and evil way. It is evil. It is abomination against God. It is sinful. It's right along the attacks that the world has undertaken to take and go against every foundational thing that God has ordained and established. Right there in the home. Isn't it interesting how it is that man, since the beginning, no doubt, but we've known it in our days, men and women want to be together and live together and be intimate together, and they don't want to get married. But then the sodomite and the lesbian, they want to be together and they want to get married. Why? It's all defiance of God. It's defiance of God and God's way. And so God knows that mankind is just as wicked and just as able to continue to pursue in that. But God says, I'm not going to flood the earth and destroy it anymore. And I'm going to give you a token in the cloud, my bow, that'll be a witness of that perpetually. It goes on to say here, I do set my bow in the cloud, verse 13, and it shall be for a token. And I want us to remember this about a token. an evidence, a sign, a remembrance, a thing directly connected to, token of the covenant between me and the earth. Verse 14, and it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant. Lord says, now God doesn't have to be reminded about anything, but as he deals with us, he says, when the bow shines, and you know what? There could be rainbows shining all over the earth in multiple places. I think I heard here, it's been some time ago, that there's like 7 to 9 major storm systems happening over all the earth at one time. And any of them have the potential, if they're going in the daytime, to have the Lord's bow in the cloud, his rainbow in the cloud. He said, in this I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. What did God say he would do? He wouldn't flood the earth anymore, and he'd give a token to remind us and remind him of that very fact. What did he require of man? Nothing. We're just the benefactors, the recipients of the Lord's graciousness and not doing that in our generations, even though our generations well deserve it. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant. You see how he hammers this over and over and over. See, the Lord knows that you and I need repeat to really, really get it. Because we're hard-headed and we're stubborn, and the Lord talks, and we don't listen, and so he hammers it over and over again, doesn't he? And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. He determined it, God did, and has brought it to pass indeed. He provided a token as a reminder unto us. A covenant of graciousness and mercy by our Lord. In Matthew chapter 5, in conclusion, I know that probably surprises you, doesn't it? In Matthew chapter 5, verse number 45, here on the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord Jesus says one thing here that we want to take and bring this forward to our time. From that time of Noah, and the Lord's covenant and promise, his testament unto us, it was declared, ordained by him, by his word, and it's been kept by his power. In Matthew 5:45, our Lord, or verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, children of God, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his Son to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just, his children, and the unjust. Since that time, the Lord's been causing that sun to come up and go down every day. Well, there's been a few exceptions where he stayed it, where he took it back. He's in control of that. But you know what? The wicked and the unrepentant and the unbelieving, they've been the benefactors of the sun rising and falling. And you know what? There's some places that are really burned up by the sun. There is really, really difficult to live in those places. But you know, on the earth, there are other places that it's very, very pleasant to live. And the Lord does that, and he causes that to happen, has caused that to happen for all these millennia. He's caused that to happen. And it's a blessing unto those that don't believe him, those that are unrepentant, those that deny him. It's a blessing to them, and it's a blessing to his children too, and he keeps on. The Lord caused the sun not to even shine. And things would change in a hurry, wouldn't they? And then he says here, the Lord Jesus says, he's caused, sendeth his rain on the just and on the unjust. For the most part, considering the world itself, we get an amount of rain that works. Now, it's been tough in India, hasn't it? It's been most difficult in India. It's being because of the hurricanes down there, down south. It's been tough down there. But you know what? There is a place to escape. It's not happening over all the earth. We've had some flooding times here, haven't we, that have been difficult here in our region several years ago. But there's a place to go to. In that day, there was no place to go to. The Lord has kept His promise. Indeed. He has blessed with the things that humanity has needed, whether they have received the Lord and hearkened to Him and His Word or not. Because He is gracious and He is merciful. He has allowed you and me to live till today because He is gracious and He is merciful. If you're here and you're not saved, He has given you life into this time that you might hear the gospel from one of His churches about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of sinners just like you. You're a sinner. You're guilty before God. You've sinned against Him, and you have no help or no hope for your sins, your transgressions against God. He knows them all. You've forgotten many, but you're guilty. And you know what? The Lord has been gracious and merciful to provide a Savior. And He tells you, do not do a thing, but repent in your heart and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I talk about doing, He's not saying build anything, scale a mountain, offer a sacrifice, turn over a new leaf, but be like Noah and believe what the Lord has said. You're guilty and you need a Savior, and His Son is the only one. In Romans chapter 4, I used a portion of a scripture there. We want to go and touch on this, and this will be a springboard into coming messages. In Romans chapter 4, verse number 14, we'll pick it up. And again, in this chapter, the subject is Abraham and what he has found pertaining to the flesh and that. We pick it up in verse 14. For if they which are of the law, that Old Testament, be heirs, faith is made void. You don't even need faith if the keepers of the law, supposedly, are the heirs. And the promise made of none effect. Promises made to brother Abraham, which in messages to come we'll touch on. Because the law worketh wrath. Because God is very angry with sinners that have disobeyed Him and sinned against Him. For where no law is, there is no transgression. I'll just give you this. Christ has fulfilled the law for His children, and we are justified. There's no transgression at hand because Christ has paid for it. Next chapter, verse number 1 of chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We've been reading it over here in chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Back in chapter 4, verse number 15. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there's no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, the goodness and blessing of the Lord. The Lord knew our situation before we even knew our situation. And the Lord worked on sinners' behalf before they even knew they needed any working on their behalf. And He sent His Son to be a Savior for sinners when we didn't even care. And He did all that's necessary for you and I that live here in this day. It's all been done that you and I can be saved by repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the graciousness of our Lord. He doesn't say do. He doesn't say save yourself. He says repent and believe and trust in Him. Noah, undertaken to build that ark. I mean, really? Think about that thing. They've got one that they built up here in northern Kentucky. And I understand it's a sight to behold. You being told that, to undertake that task, Do you really think, would you think that you could pull that off? And Brother Noah, no doubt, was way stronger than you and I. And he worked on that thing for decades. But you know what? He had faith in what the Lord told him to do. He could do by the power of God. He didn't build the ark to be saved by the Lord, his soul, but he built the ark and from the standpoint of obedience to the Lord, because he trusted in the deliverance of the Lord. Like that, sinners are called upon to trust and rest in the Lord for his salvation. Therefore, it is of faith in the Lord that it might be by grace, the favor of the Lord, the working of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord, to the end the promise, see it there, might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, speaking of the Jews, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Abraham was a man indeed that believed God. Verse 17, as it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead, makes alive the dead. He believed about Isaac when he took up Isaac to sacrifice him. He believed God could bring him back to life. Do you believe that God can give you life that you don't have? And calleth those things which be as they were, I'm sorry, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Impossible things for men. Oh, that can't be. Oh, with the Lord, they are. They are indeed. Which testament or covenant do you want? Which testament or covenant do you need? One of works that you bring to the Lord, which will not be received, or one of the graciousness and mercy of the Lord that is received by faith in Him? Which one do you want? Which one do you need? Remember, in Mark 14, 24, as the Lord's there instituting the Lord's Supper in the midst of the Passover, He said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. I tell you what, signed, sealed, and delivered by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the graciousness and the mercy of the Lord for sinners. Hebrews 11, 6, listen. But without faith in Him, if you will, without faith in Him, it is impossible to please Him, to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Covenants of grace and of mercy.